special occasion we have. In general, the season's picking up, and we're starting with our Monday nights Midrashah Learning that we're very excited for. We're also marking the fourth yahrzeit of Danny Greyjauer, the Midrashah is named after, Daniela Sara Bas Eliezer Yisrael Halevi, and it's our fervent hope that all the learning that we do tonight and over the course of the year, and over the course of the lifetime of this Midrashah, should be an Ilui Neshama for her, and she should be Melech Yosher for all her family and all of Klal Yisrael. We have a tremendous lineup tonight that we're very excited for. And with no further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Shabtai. Thank you for inviting me to speak and to be part of this evening's program, the Zecher Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa, Daniela Sara Alaha HaShalom, Bas Eliezer Yisrael Halevi, better known as Danny Greyjauer, to some of us. So it's an honor to be presenting here. One second. It's an honor to be presenting as part of this evening the Zecher Nishmasa. It's just interesting how Hashem arranges things. Actually, it's her fourth yahrzeit. It was just her fourth yahrzeit this past Shabbos. And on her fourth yahrzeit, my husband and I were in New Rochelle. No. 4 years ago on Parshas Chayei Sara, my husband and I were at the Young Israel of New Rochelle doing a scholar in residence. And that was actually the Shabbos in the community when Danny was Nifteres. That very Shabbos when Danny was Nifteres. And subsequently, since then, I've been presenting for the Boker Hasson Synagogue Midrashah, which is the Zecher Nishmasa. 2 weeks ago, I spoke in New Rochelle in person, the Zecher Nishmas Dani. Her mother was there. I was zocha to have her mother, Shatichya, in attendance. And then Rabbi Shabtai invited me to speak as part of this evening. So there's a lot of learning being done the Zecher Nishmasa. I feel personally connected from all of these connections. And I'm sure that many people feel very moved. So let us begin our learning. I prepared a handout, which I'm going to screen share with you right here. Okay, so can you see that the top of my screen here? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So at the top, you see that we are learning the Zecher Nishmasa, Daniela Sara, Lael Shambas, Eliezer Yisrael Halevi, Zechona Levracha. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Yod Ches Amon Beis, which is the first source tonight, Eilu Hashem Shebechayein Kruin Mesim. When it comes to a Rasha, even when they are alive, they are really like dead. Since they live a life of Rishus, their life has no meaning and their life has no value. However, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Yod Ches Amon Aleph, Eilu Tzad the very important principle of the sages, which is that the righteous, even when they pass on from Olam Hazeh, even when they are no longer alive, tzadikim b'misasan, a tzadik in their death, nikraim chayim, is still alive. Now, it doesn't mean we believe that people are eternal, because people are not eternal. God told Adam, on the day you eat from me, you will surely die, and mortality came to the world. So what does it mean that a tzadik in their death continues to live? And what it means is that through their legacy, through the Masorah that they transmitted, through the Gemilas Chassid, through their Torah, through the way they lived their life as a righteous person, and the legacy that they left behind, their Zechira continues to live on, their Maisim Tovim continues to live on, and the legacy continues to live on. It's extremely interesting to me. I actually spoke earlier this afternoon, later this afternoon, I should say, Rabbi Eitan Epstein and I were able to connect. That is Danny's brother. And Rabbi Eitan Epstein and I were able to connect, and he told me that Danny actually passed away on Parshas Chayei Sara. And it was her fourth yahrzeit this Shabbos. And I ran to look at the calendar. I reached out to him. I said, you know that is Yud Ches Cheshvan. That means her yahrzeit is on Yud Ches Cheshvan. So Yud Ches obviously is a very important number in Yahadus. It is the gematria of Chai. It represents life. It's extremely interesting that Parshas Chayei Sara is known as the Sedra of Chayei Sara, just like Parshas Vayechi is known as the Sedra of Vayechi Yaakov. Why? Because in the Sedra of Chayei Sara, Sara dies and Avram dies. So maybe it should be called Misas Sara. And in the last Sedra, Bereishis Vayechi, Yaakov dies at 147 and Yosef dies at 110. So maybe that should be called Vayamas Yaakov Be'aretz Mitzrayim at the age of 147. And both Sidros in Bereishis would deal with the death of the righteous, the death of Avram and Sara and Chayei Sara, the deaths of Yaakov and Yosef and Vayechi. We call it's under the subheading, if you will, of life. And this really reiterates this idea that the Gemara brings us, Eilut Tzadikim Shebimisasa Nikrau Chayim. Because of the way a tzaddik lives their life, they never spiritually pass away from this world. They never spiritually die because the deeds and the legacy of the righteous live on. So I'm just going to share a little bit of what Rabbi Eitan Epstein shared with me about his sister Dani, alah Hashem. So he says that Dani was a teacher. She was a middle school teacher in Boca. She taught Sefer VaYikra, which for anyone who has ever delved into Sefer VaYikra is a challenging Sefer. She taught middle school, he thinks 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. He said one of her primary midos is that she was incredibly tsanua. She said both in her dress, said Rabbi Epstein, and in her behavior. He said in her dress, she had so much growth in that area. She was an extremely tsanua woman. And he said in terms of her behavior, she was sick for 8 years. She told no one about it. She didn't speak excessively about herself. She didn't put herself in people's face. And she was very tsanua and modest in her dress, which you will see, we will relate to Sari Imenu very shortly. Furthermore, he told me that one of her greatest legacies is the impact that she had on her Talmidim and her Talmidos. Her students are one of her greatest legacies. And he said at the Shiva, so many spoke about her classes and her teachings and the impact that she had on them. And this was even kids who are post-high school. Post-high school kids would come back and say they remember their 7th and 8th grade teacher, what an impact she had. She would give each child individual attention. Chanuch l'nar al pi darko gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimenu. So that it stayed with them as they grew up, even after they graduated high school. She left behind 3 children of her own, Kenayin Ahara. He was 33 years old. I believe Rabbi Epstein said 32 or 33 when she was Nefteres. But these are the 2 main midos that he really stressed. Besides the fact that she was a teacher, and we will see the relevance of that shortly, she was a very tsanua woman. And furthermore, one of her greatest legacies is how much she invested into her students. Again, her Yahrzeit was this past Shabbos, which is Yer Ches Cheshvan, and this was her 4th Yahrzeit. So after I spoke to him, it just really impacted me that 18 Cheshvan, 18 is life. Maseches Brachos, 18. Is where the Gemara tells us that Sadiqim af b'misas in the Krayim Chayim. Furthermore, she was Nefteris on Parshas Chaye Sarah. And not to be lost to us is that her name was Sarah, Daniela Sarah, Alaha Hashalom, Bas Eliezer Yisrael Halevi. Like Sarah Imenu, truly Dani's legacy lives on in her family, her children, and all the students that she taught. And therefore, I'm going to go back to the handout that I prepared for you. And I thought that it was very impactful after Rabbi Epstein shared this with me about his sister, made an impact on me. And he said how moving it was at the Shiva house to hear all the students speaking about his sister. And the Pasuk tells us in Devarim, it's a Pasuk you say every day, so we all know this off by heart. We are now in Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, like you see on the screen. This is a section from what we call the Shema Yisrael, which begins in Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, actually. Shema Yisrael, Shem HaKun Hashem Echad. And in the Shema, we say, V'shinantum levanecha, you shall teach it to your children. You should speak about them, meaning Torah and mitzvot, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you sit in the house, u'v'lachtecha v'derech, and when you walk on the way, u'v'shachbecha u'v'kumecha, when you lay down and when you get up. So what does Rashi say? What is important? What is this pasuk teaching us? V'shinantam, so Rashi says, is from the word sharp, like a shane. Shane is called a tooth. It's the same root word. Shinnun, a tooth is a sharp tool that Hashem gave us to tear into food, really, to chew and to consume our food. Think of a shark, lahavdil, tearing into its food. So a tooth is something sharp. So what is vishinantam? Lashon chidurhu, sheyihu mechudadim beficha. When it comes to the words of Torah, it should be sharp in your mouth. It should be not like a tooth, obviously not physically sharp, but Torah should be sharp. You should be familiar with it. Sheim yishalcha adam davar, lo teitzarech legam gembo, ela amor lo miyad. If somebody asks you a question when it comes to Torah, you should not need to, stall and make excuses and putter about. It should be so sharp in your mouth that you should know the answer when a person comes to ask you a Torah question. This is really one of the legacies of Dani. I mean, she taught Chumash for many years to middle school students. Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Furthermore, so this really pasuk really reminded me of her after I spoke to Rabbi Epstein. Furthermore, what does it mean? So that's on the word v'shinantam, that Torah should be sharp in your mouth. And if a person loves Torah, then it will be sharp in their mouth. And if a person teaches Torah, then it certainly is sharp in their mouth. Otherwise, it can't be a teacher. Levanecha, to their students. What does it mean? I gave it away. Levanecha. The pasuk says, "Vishinantim levanecha." You should teach your sons. But Rashi says, "Oh, zukt Rashi. What does it mean, levanecha? Elu hatamidim." These are a person's students. Matzinu b'chol makom shehatalmidim kruei banim. Well, you found in every place, Rashi's quoting Chazal here, the Medrash, we found in every place that students are called children. So a person has biological children, which is their legacy, and a person has spiritual children, which is also part of their legacy. So when the Pasuk tells you, vishinantam, Torah should be sharp in your mouth, livanecha, we're not only talking about a person's biological progeny, but we are talking about a person's students, because students are considered the spiritual offspring of the teacher, and it is like their offspring, it is like their children. And Rashi tells us, I bolded it for you, kashem shatamidim karui banim, just like students are called children, kach harav karui av. So too, a person's rabbi, a person's teacher, is called their parent, and this is a relationship that she exuded and that she thrived in with her students. They were her children, her spiritual children, and she was their spiritual mother. And finally, with the bar tambam, the pasuk says, shelo yeg ikur diburcha alabam. The main thing, what you speak about, a person should pay attention. What do I talk about all day? What do I spend all day speaking about? Do I spend all day talking about sports? Someone told me that the Bills last lot. Someone mentioned to me that the Bills lost last night. So I said, oh, I really didn't know. I don't really follow sports. So a person, if you follow sports, it's fine. But a person just has to think, what is the main talk? What is the main focus of what you're discussing all day? Is it sports? Is it vacation? Is it the beach? Is it a movie you saw? What's the main thing? Is it dress? Is it the latest fashions? What is the main thing that we talk about? The dibarta bam, shelo ye ikr debruch alabam. The ikr, the main part of what you speak about, should be Torah mitzvos. It should be chesed. It should be teaching Torah. It should be loving Torah. It should be growth in snias in the realm of coming closer to Hashem. Now, of course, we have to talk about other things. And Rashi says, shelo ye ikr debruch alabam. Rashi doesn't say you should 100% go around the world saying divrei Torah, because we need to talk about other things. We need to shop for groceries, and we need to make lists, and we need to do laundry. That's not necessary. Necessarily saying a Dvar Torah. Actually, I'm not going to say which Gadol was. My husband just told me this story last night. He was speaking to an estate planner, a lawyer, estate planner, who actually we did our will with a number of years ago, and he bumped into him recently, and he saw him. And my husband told him that he quotes all the time what the lawyer told us when we first sat down to meet with him. He said, okay, I'm going to say one chas v'shalom, and that covers our entire meeting. So we don't have to say at the end of every sentence, chas v'shalom, one chas v'shalom. So my husband says he loves it. And he told the lawyer, I say it often. So the lawyer said he had a certain gadol in his office with the gadol son. And he started to say to the gadol, you know, I saw one of the sfarim. And the gadol said, sfarim are for shalosh shuras. This isn't a Dvar Torah. We're making a legal contract. Let's get going. So lo shelo ye ikr debircha elabam. The ikr of what you speak about should be Torah. Now, yes, of course we have to talk about other things, because we have to make contracts, and we have to make estate planning, and we have to talk about buying detergent in the store. We have to talk about laundry and making the beds and getting to the bus on time. Okay. But the ikr of what you speak about should be divrei Torah, not whether the bills won or lost. Asem ikar va'al tasem tofel. Make the ikr, the main part of your Torah, main part of your lashon Torah, chesed, Avodas Hashem, growth, v'shinantam v'venecha, and it should not be secondary. And this pasuk really reminded me, based on, you know, it's so hard sometimes when I prepare a shir l'zeicher nishmas for aliyah neshama, and I reach out to a family member, and I know it's like an impossible request. I'm saying to that family member, could you tell me a little bit about what I could, you know, make the shir personalized? And it's almost like insulting, I feel like. It's almost offensive. Here I am asking you to encapsulate the life of a person. Ma enosh kitis kerenu uven adam kitif kederu v'tachzeru ma'at me'elokim v'kavod v'hadar tatreu. I'm asking you to encapsulate in a 5-minute, in a 7-minute phone call, in a few paragraphs, what a person is a little bit lower than the angels, and they are crowned with honor and with glory. And how can you sum up the life? You can't. But it's snippets. You can't. That's the answer. You just can't. But if we want to be inspired, especially for those of us who do not know Danny, even though it seems to be that through my teachings, I am ultimately connected to her through the different venues in which I teach, Zeicher Nishmasa. But if we want to be inspired, we have to know something. So it's not an insult. You try and be bekavodik with the realization that anything I tell you is a fraction, less than a fraction, a minuscule smidgen, a hair's breadth of what a person really is. So let's get to Sara Imenu. The legacy of Sara Imenu, the first Sara. Dani was also Sara. She was Daniela Sara, Allah Hashem, as Eliezer Sara Levi. She was also Sara. Let's go to the first Sarah. What do we know about Sarah? As in Sarah Imenu, our matriarch who founded Am Yisrael, this amazing nation, along with her Ezer Kenegda, which was Avram Avinu. So what do we know? When we first meet them, it is right at the end of Parshas Noach. I got to ask you when I went back to screen share. I mean, you could see my screen, yeah? Someone would have told me if not. Okay, thank you. So we first meet them all the way at the end of Perek Yud Aleph of Bereishis, which is the end of Parshas Noach. At the end of the Seder of Noach, the Torah lists in Perek Yud Aleph the 10 generations. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. We come from Shem, Noach, Shem, and then Arpachshad. 10 generations from Noach, Shem, Arpachshad, all the way down to Avram. And we learn about Terach and his journey, but he gets stuck in Haran. He doesn't make it to Eretz Canaan. We learn that Haran died. Al Panei Terach Aviv, Haran tried to jump into the Kibshan Aish. He did jump into the Kibshan Aish. He did not survive because his intentions were not pure. He leaves over load. So we know a little bit about this family tree at the end of Perek Yud Aleph. And we are told, Vayikach Avram v'Nachar lahem nashim, Avram and Nachar took for themselves wives. These are the two remaining brothers of Terach. Haran is gone. Shem Eshus Avram Sarai. This is when we first meet Sarai. The name of Avram's wife is Sarai. B'shem Eshus Nachar Milcah. And the name of the wife of Nachar is Milcah. Bas Haran, the daughter of Haran. Avi Milcah v'Avi Yiska. So Haran is the father of Milcah and the father of Yiska. Okay, a little secret. Sarah and Lot were brother and sister. And their father was Haran. The Torah does not explicitly say, which is interesting, it's as if they don't want to explicitly connect Sarah to Lot or Sarai to Lot, but yes, they were brother and sister and they both had the same father, meaning Haran. Okay? The fact that Avram married his niece is not so surprising. Even in Europe, they continue to intermarry within families, if you will. So Yiska is Sarah. Why is she called Yiska? So Rashi tells us, you can see on my screen, we're in Bereishis, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuchav Tes. So Rashi says Yiska. Who did Avram marry? Who is this Yiska, the daughter of Haran? Zo Sarah. Right? If Sarah is the daughter of Haran, Yiska, and Lot is the son of Haran, then what are Lot and Sarah? Brother and sister. Zo Sarah, this is Sarah. Oh. So actually, every time the Torah calls Lot Avram's brother, I just thought of something, I always explain that it's the son of his brother, so it's like his brother, but actually it was his brother-in-law also. So it was mamish like his brother. I just realized that. Okay, Zo Sarah. Al Shem Shesocha Baruch HaKodesh. One reason is because she knew through, she understood through the Holy Spirit. Sarah had Ruach HaKodesh. She understood things and divine things and gazed into things through Ruach HaKodesh. That's one reason why she is called Yiska. Well, how does our school translate Sachsa? She saw with Holy Spirit. So I said she gave, she divined, she understood. Okay. Next, v'hashah hakol sochin biyafia. Everyone gazed at her beauty. V'od Yiska lashon nisichus. And also Yiska is from a language of prince, like a prince, a dignitary, a princess. Kemo Sarah lashon sirara. Just like Sarah is like Sar v'shofet, a prince, a dignitary. So three reasons. So one thing we know about Yiska is that, who is Sarah? First of all, we know that Yiska is Sarah. Sarai, Sarah. We also know that she was able to understand things through Ruach HaKodesh. When you're going to see in further sources, her level of Ruach HaKodesh was greater even than Avram's, her husband. And furthermore, everyone gazed at her beauty. And furthermore, it's like dignitary. She was like a princess. She was like a prince, a person of prestige. Okay? So that's one thing we know about Sarah. Now they begin their journey. That's the end of Parshas Noach. Now we move into Lech Lecha. And Avram goes and he journeys to the land of Canaan. God appears to him. He's 75 years old. Lech Lecha me'artzcham me'adcham be'savicha al'artz o'sher ha'raka. I'll make you great and your name great and everyone will be blessed through you. Vayikach Avram perik beis pasuk hei. Vayikach Avram es Sarah yishto. Avram takes Sarah his wife. Ves lo ben achiv. Lo the son of his brother. Ves kol v'chushem asher achashu. All the possessions that they amassed. Ves ha'nefesh asher asu b'charon. And the soul that they made in Haran, Vayetsu Lalachas Arza Kanan, Vayavo Arza Kanan. Unlike his father Terach, who starts the journey to Canaan, if you look at the end of the Seder of Noach, but gets stuck, he does not continue the journey, he gets stuck in Haran, Avram is able to continue the journey. He departs from the land of Canaan, he departs to the land of Canaan, and he arrives in the land of Canaan. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Vesam Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, the souls that they made in Haran? And if you remember how we began with me sharing personal memories of Rabbi Epstein about his sister Dani, and that was that she was a teacher. Asher asu b'charan, shehichnison tachas kamfei shechina. What does it mean, the sauce that they made in Charan? They brought them under the wings of the Shechina. People were illiterate when it came to knowledge of God. They were in the dark about monotheism. It was a time of akum, ovde, kochavim, umazalos. It was a time of rampant avodah zarah. What did they do? They brought the light of the Ribon Sha'olam. They taught people. They were teachers. Avram Megayer as Ha'anashim, famous, Vesara Megayer as Ha'anashim. What was their role? It was to convert people, if you will, to understand that there is a Borei Olam. And this world did not happen by accident. The Medrash does a famous mashal about Avram Avinu. It's like a person walking, and he sees a castle. And in the castle, he sees the lights on in the castle. And the person thinks to himself, is it possible that this whole castle is here and all the lights are on and things are so busy in the house and there's no owner of the castle, there's no builder of the castle, there's no overseer, there's no doorman. It's just running by itself. Is it possible it's running? Nobody changes the light bulbs. Nobody orders the food. Nobody takes care of the horses in the stable. Nobody walks the royal dogs. This whole thing is going by itself. How could it be? It's someone who realizes, literally, the light went on, that the person realizes that there has to be a Baal Habira, there has to be a master of this palace in order for there to be a palace. And that's what Avram and Sarah taught people. They taught them that there is a Ribono Sha'olam in this world. She'echnison tachas kamfei shechina. They brought them under the wings of the Shechina. Avram megayer es ha'anashim, v'sar megayer es ha'anashim. He would be teaching and converting the man. She would be teaching and converting the woman. They were a powerhouse couple. Umala le'em ha'kosev kilosum. And it is as if the Torah considers as if they made them. Now, we started in Rashi. Rashi says, "Levanecha elu hatamidim matzinu b'chol makom shema tamidim karui vanim." And you see the proof of this from Avram and Sarah, that the souls that they made, that they brought under tachas kamfei shechina, it's as if they made them. Now, they didn't physically make these souls. They made it many, many years for a biological child, but they spiritually made them. And anyone who teaches his friend's son Torah, it's as if he birthed them. We learn that from Moshe and Aaron when it says these are their offspring and only lists Aaron's children. Anyway, I think it's about Midbar Perikimah. Anyone who teaches his friend son Torah, it's as if he birthed him. So we see here that even though at this point they did not have biological children of their own, which Baruch Hashem Daini did, and Baruch Hashem she left as a nachas, Baruch Hashem in this world and for her family. However, at this point, Avram and Sarah were converting and they had spiritual children, spiritual progeny. So that's the next thing we know about Sarah. She played a major role in helping Avram to do his kiruv work, if you will. It wasn't a one-man show. It was a one-man, one-woman, one-couple show. And they get to Canaan, which is the promised land. It's the golden of Medina. Remember when I was little, what was it called? The American Tail with the mouse, Five of the Mouse. Was it the American Tail? What was it called? Does anyone remember? Yes? No? You don't know? You're nodding no, Chanawasma? You don't know? Does anyone? Oh, I can't see anyone else. Okay. I think it was called the American Tail. That little mouse, Five, the cartoon movie? No one knows? Okay. Maybe it was only in Canada? So the streets are paved with gold. There are no rats in America, and the streets are paved with gold. Okay? So they're coming to Eretz Canaan, and the streets are paved with gold, and it's going to be so wonderful. So they tackle get there. So what do they find out when they get there? I think it's Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav. Vayhi Rav Baretz. Okay. I thought this is a good land. And now what happens? I get here. Let me just check. Perek Vav. No, it's not. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yod. I said the wrong pasuk. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yod. There's a famine in the land. That was supposed to be good for me. I don't know. Not so good. We're sort of hungry. So they repack everyone and load and their possessions and their people. And they start to go down south because they have to go to Egypt. It was when they were coming close to come to Egypt. Avram decides to save their life that they have to go down. Was it the right thing, the wrong thing? See the Ramban. Lamaisa. They're going down to Egypt. What does he say to his wife? He no na yadati. You know what? All of a sudden I know. Ki isha yifa mara up. You are a very, very beautiful woman. Hini na yadati. Now, she's a very beautiful woman, but on the other hand, you're going to see in a few sources that her place was in a tent. She was tsanua. So I know you're beautiful, not because you're out there in Ansnias, not because you're showing off all your wares. You're beautiful, Davka, because you are tsanua. which is, of course, a comment not only on Sara Imenu, but also on Daniela Sara, Allah Hashem, and we're going to come to where you're going to see she's so beautiful because she's in the tent, because she is a tsanua person. What is more beautiful, this is based on thoughts that I've heard by Rabbi Zev Leff and other teachers, the more beautiful something is, the more it's covered up. The most holiest place in the Mishkan, was the most covered place. The outside, you have the kiyar, and you have the mizbech and the choshes, and it was in the chatzer. It wasn't even inside the Mishkan itself. And the Mishkan was 30 amos by 10. Okay? 30 amos long, 10 wide. And there were walls. There were beams. They were covered in gold. They had silver sockets, so that's already covering. You have wood covered in gold with silver sockets. There were three layers over the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the Ohal, and the Michzah, three layers. And then there was a partition, a parochus, dividing the space called the Kodesh, the Holy, which housed the golden menorah, golden table, and golden altar. And then there was a partition separating into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what is the Kodesh HaKadoshim behind? It has beams, wooden beams, Atzei Shitim Omdim, covered in gold, standing in silver sockets, with a parochus, a partition in front of it, covered in three curtains, the Mishkan, the Ohal, and the Michsa layer. And then inside that hidden room, you have the Aron Kodesh. What's inside the Aron Kodesh? The Luchos, and the Shivrei Luchos, and the Sefer Torah Moshe. But there's more coverings. The Aron Kodesh itself is three boxes. Not one, not two, but three boxes. More and more and more covered. Gold, wood, gold. Three boxes. And then you have a lid, hammered out of solid gold. And on top of the lid, you have the Kruvim. The Torah is so precious. Why not just display it for the whole world to see? It's the most precious thing we have. That's exactly why we don't display for the whole world to see. Because what is the most precious stays hidden as Kadosh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Luchos, the Torah Kadosha, Vishinantam Levanecha, Vadibarta Bam, Vishtifticha Bevesacha, Velachacha Vaderach, let it be sharp in your mouth. Know the Torah, teach your students. Not only the words, the feeling of Torah. Not only the taich, the translation, the passion of Torah. Not only the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. Tzadikim, Avim Misasin, Nikraim Chayim. So Avram says to her, you know what? I never even noticed you're such a beautiful woman. Hine nani adati. Why? So Zukt Rashi, Madrash Agada, Arach Shavlo, Hikirba Mitoch Tznias Shebeinehim. Does it mean that Avram never complimented his wife? Did it mean he never appreciated her? No, the Torah is telling you something beautiful. It was always a maila, an unbelievable attribute, that there was modesty between them, and she behaved like a modest woman. Rabbi Epstein told me his sister was always growing in this area. Tznius was just the whole her essence, both in her action, in her speech, and in her dress, and in her deed. And it was something that was so precious between Avram and Sarah. So why don't we just take a Sefer Torah? Maybe we should just take a Sefer Torah and go into Times Square or whatever in Boca is the main square in Miami. I don't know, South Miami Beach. Hashem Yirachem Alai, that I'm even saying this. Go to South Miami Beach. It's closer than driving all the way to Times Square. Take a Sefer Torah, open it up, and let everyone who's walking there come see it and read it. And why don't we do that? Why does it have to be rolled up? And then it has to be under the, not the parochus, what's it called? Okay, if you remember, you can post it on the chat. Then it has to be under its cover. And then it has to be tied up by Galita. And then it has to go in the Aron Kodesh. And then you close the doors. And then you put a curtain. Because you're emulating the Aron Kodesh that was in the Mishkan. We just described all the layers that went behind. Okay. We just described all the layers that ensconced and that kept hidden from us. Not in a negative way, in the most beautiful way. Because what is more precious is more hidden. And so Sara Imenu was never on display for the whole world. Not because we're anti-woman, God forbid, because we understand what's more beautiful is more hidden. For example, the Hope Diamond. I don't know which museum it's in. I don't know where it is. I've never seen it. But I would imagine that they don't leave it in the middle of the street for everyone to look at. Why? Why not? It's so beautiful. Let everyone see it. Why do you have to put it in a museum which is behind closed doors, which has a security guard in its own room, behind a glass enclosure, with an alarm, and with security cameras? Why? Just put it out in the street. Let everyone see it. It'll be abused. It won't be appreciated. Its beauty will be diminished and cheapened. What is more beautiful is more hidden. Now you're going to be on display. Not because I want you to be on display, but if we stay in Canaan, we're going to die because there's a hunger in the land. So what should we do? were coming down here, and now I know you're beautiful, i.e. and tall now. It's not that he didn't recognize that she was beautiful, but he appreciated that her beauty was reserved for where it was supposed to be. Mitoch tznius shebishneihem. Because they had this midah of modesty between them, because what is most precious, excuse me, is more hidden. Not adraba, not that we are, not that we are denigrating women. What am I denigrating, the Aron Kodesh? That's ludicrous. That's asinine. Am I denigrating lahavdil elf alfe, a billion havdalos, the hope diamond? No, of course not. The hope diamond is very beautiful. But because it's very beautiful, specifically because, therefore we hide it. The pasuk tells us, and I forgot to include it on my the mantle. Yes, Alice Ross, thank you. That's exactly what I was referring to. Okay. The pasuk tells us, and I forgot to put it on the handout. So, oh, actually, I could just add it to the handout while I'm speaking. That would be much easier than putting it on the chat. The famous, famous, beautiful pasuk from Micha 6:8. And the pasuk tells us in Micha 6:8, like you see right here on my screen, I just added it for you, this idea of relating both to Sara Imenu and to Daniela Sara Lahasham, Danny Grazauer. Higidacha adam matov. I will tell you what is good, says Micha. Is having a lot of diamonds good? Is knowing the bill score good? Is going out to a fancy dinner good? Is South Beach good? I don't think so. Umashem dorish mimcha. What does God seek out from you? Kim asos mishpat. You should be a person who knows justice, like Avram Avinu. Va'ahavas chesed, like Avram and Sarah. Va'hatznei aleches imelokecha. You should walk with tzanu, with Hashem your God. You know, this pasuk describes actually exactly Avram and Sarah. Because what do we know about Avram and Sarah? What does Hashem say, should say about Avram? When he doesn't want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what does Hashem say? Why doesn't he want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without telling Avram what he's about to do? He could just destroy Sodom. Tell Avram, not tell Avram, just destroy it and tell Avram. Why does he have to tell him what he's going to do? So the pasuk tells us, and I'm adding it here as well, because also it wasn't on the screen. Not on purpose. But look at the similarity in these two psukim, please. The Navi tells you, Higidacha adam matov. I will tell you, man, what is good. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha. I will tell you what God seeks from you. Don't all of us want to know that? If you have a smidgen of kedusha in you, if you have a fraction of amuna, if you're a little bit of a mevakshei Hashem, don't you sometimes wonder, God, what do you want from me? With all of our nisyonos, our national nisyonos, our personal nisyonos, our communal nisyonos. Don't you ever wonder, Hashem, what is good in this world? What do you want from me? I will tell you, says Micha. Kim asos mishpat. I want you to be a person of righteous justice. La'ahavas chesed. I want you to be a person not who just does chesed, who loves chesed. La'hatznei aleches imelokecha. The more precious something is, the more hidden it is. Not because that thing is cheapened, adarava, because it's so precious, we cover it up. Kim asos mishpat, says Micha. Why does Hashem tell Avram he's going to destroy Sodom? Ki yedativ, because God says, I got a bereshis perek yedches pasuk yedtes. Ki yedativ, Hashem says, I know about Avram. L'man asher yitzava es bana ve'es beso acharav v'shamru derech Hashem. I know the righteous will command their children, their biological children, and their household after them, their spiritual children, v'shamu derech Hashem. They will guard the way of God. La'asut tzedako u'mishpat. Avram is not only a person of charity and righteousness, he will teach his children justice as well. He will teach his students. La'man havi Hashem al Avram is asher diber alav. Like God promised to bring upon Avram. So who was Avram and his partner with him and Sarah? They understood the way of God. They understood tzedak ul mishpat. Micha says, you want to know what's good? You want to know what Hashem asks of you? Look at the first patriarch and matriarch. This whole pasuk is an allusion to Avram and Sarah. Kim asos mishpat, says Micha. What does Hashem say about Avram? La'asos tzedak ul mishpat. La'ahavas chesed. That's its own shir. Avram and chesed, it's mind-blowing. You can't find a bigger baal chesed than Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu. Hurry, bake cakes, knead, sifted dough, unsifted dough. She's baking. And the crowning glory of achievement of an Eved Hashem is everything you do should be b'hatznei alachas. Modesty. The antithesis of the society in which we live. So because they're coming to Egypt, Avram says, now I know you're beautiful. It's going to be like the Sefer Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, on display in Times Square. What are we going to do? You're so beautiful. But until now, we were so tsanua. That was hidden like the luchos in the arm, the luchos in three boxes with a cover, with the kruvim, with beams and gold covering the beams and three layers and a partition. You can't even go in there. It's so holy. It's so precious. It's so special. The Pasuk tells us, Vatomer Sari El Avram, I now am in Taz Zayin base. Hine na Tzorani Hashem Miladas. Sara realizes after 10 years of living in Eretz Canaan together that Hashem has held back. She is unable to have a child. Please come to my maidservant Hagar. Paro, when they were leaving, she was an Egyptian princess. Paro gave Hagar, the Egyptian princess, his daughter, to Sara as a maidservant. So Sara says, Ulai ibana mimena, maybe I will build a home through the child that Hagar will have. Vayishma Avram lo kol Sarai. What does it mean, Avram listened to the voice of Sarai? So Ra'al, she says, lo kol Sarai, Ruach HaKodesh Shabba. La Ruach HaKodesh Shabba. Sara had a tremendous degree of divine inspiration. It literally means Holy Spirit. But she had the word of Hashem who spoke through her, if you will. She understood things through Ruach HaKodesh. If you remember where we started, why is she called Yiska? Perikid al Posuchav Tes. Why is she called Yiska? Al Shem Shesocha Beruach HaKodesh. And I told you that I'm going to show you later. And here you see it. She divined things. She understood things through her Ruach HaKodesh. So we see the Kol Sar, she had Ruach HaKodesh. Now we come to the Malachim. Okay. And if there's one unbelievable midah of Sarah, besides for her chesed, it's her tznius. And Rashi tells it us befeirish. First of all, we already saw it on their way down to Egypt. Rashi says, mitoch tznius shebishneihem, because they were tzandua. Now I have to worry about your beauty. Avram wasn't saying, I never knew that you were beautiful. But now that the Sefer Torah, Rachman al-San, is on display in Times Square, Hashem yirachem aleinu, now I have to worry about your beauty. Before, I didn't have to worry about it because we understood that everything was covered up. Because not that it's denigrated, so we cover it up. The more precious something is, think of the Hope Diamond. It's under so much security. And Rabbi Epstein told me, he really stressed it. He said she had a lot of growth in that area. He actually said she looked like a Beis Yaakov girl. That's what he said. And he was saying in a complimentary way, on the way that she dressed, and the way that she spoke, and the way that she taught, she understood that to be a Bas Melech, Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima, Mimishbesot Zahav Lavusha, is to understand the preciousness of who we are. And if we are a kingdom of priests, if we are a holy nation, we have to respect and with dignity who we are and understand that it's reserved for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we go to, and whoever it's supposed to be reserved for in this world. Okay, Yud Chas Tes. This is the famous Malachim that come to visit Avram and Sarah. And they say to Avram, okay, so three malachim come. Why? One is going to be mevas, so that Sarah will have a child this time next year. One is going to give Avram a refuah shleima, and the other is taking the scenic route because he's going to destroy Sodom. Its own question is what he's doing by the tent of Avram and Sarah. Okay, now for tonight. They ask him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he says, oh, she's in the tent. So Rashi says, "Bivava mitzia or mim yodi ma'yu malacha ishar Sara imenu hechan haisa." The malachim didn't know where Sara was. If she had Ruach HaKodesh, they knew everything. They were malachim. They're shlichim of Hashem. Why do they have to say, "Where Sara, your wife"? The Torah doesn't waste words. Why are they saying, "Where Sara, your wife"? Just say, "I have a bracha for you." They knew where she was. Ela lohodia shetznua haisa. To let it be known how tsanua, how modest she was. Kedei lechaba ba'abala. They wanted to compliment her to her husband. To tell her husband how precious she was, how beautiful she was, to endear her to her husband, to instill shalom bayis and ahava, achva, gila, verina, disa, vechadva with this couple. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, kedei l'shager la kos brach shabracha. Oh, they wanted to give her a kos shabracha. That's the second shot. They wanted to give her the kos shabracha. You know, if you ever got a shavar bracha, so you'll say to someone who's waiting for the shirach, it should be bekara for all who are waiting, take a zip of the kos shabracha. You should have some of the wine. You should share it in this bracha. Hine ba'oho, so they say, where's Sarah, your wife? They want to endear her and point out what a tsanua woman she is. And he says, hine ba'oho, behold, she is in the tent. What does Rashi say? Tsanua hi. Avram says, of course I know she's tsanua. I know who she is. I know what she is. I know how precious she is. And now we move to the birth of Yitzchak himself. Perek Chaf Aleph, this is last week's Sajra, so was the visit of the Malachim. Some of what we looked at was El Nechecha. We're journeying through the lives here, because what happens to Chayi Sarah? Chaye Sarah, not Misa Sarah. Why? Like we started the Shir. Tzadikim af b'mishasim nekraim chayim. So Chai Yisar is a celebration. It's a time to look back and see who Sar Yemeni was. When Yitzchak is born, Sarah says, rejoicing, laughter God has made for me. Everyone who hears will laugh for me. Targum Onkel says, Va'amara Sarah, Chadva avadi Hashem, Kol Dishma Yachdevi. Chadva is actually an Aramaic word for Simcha. For those who are not familiar, Chadva is an Aramaic word. So Targum Onkel explains that Sarah was saying, rejoicing God has made for me. Everyone who hears will rejoice for me. And Rashi says, what was she saying? Yismach alai. They will be happy with me. They will be happy for me and with me. Umedra shagada, harbe akoros nifkadu ima. When Sarah was redeemed, many barren women were redeemed along with her. Harbe cholim nisrapu bobayam. When Sarah had her child, many ill were healed with her. Harbe tfilos na'anu ima. Many prayers were answered along with her prayers. Virov schok haya ba'olam. When Sarah had her Yeshua at the birth of Yitzchak, it wasn't a personal Yeshua. She wanted to share that with everybody else. That's the sign truly of royalty. Not, I want the simcha for myself. I want the happiness and I want to keep it to myself. When there's true simcha, I want everyone to rejoice along with me. It's hard. It's a hard midah. Why is it a hard midah? Because it's against teva to forgive people's success. Sarah Yemeni wanted everyone to be successful just like she was. And therefore Hashem rewarded her. Many barren women bore children like she did. Many ill people were healed on that day. Many tefillos were answered along with her tefillos, and there was so much joy in the world from her Yeshua. One more source that I want to share with you here. Also in Parachof Aleph, last week's Sedra, Pasuk Yabes. So Elohim says to Avram, so Sarah says, Garesh asa amazos vespina, kilo yirash him bini im Yitzchak. Sarah says, kick out Hagar, send away Yishmael. He was trying to kill Yitzchak. He was mitzachik with Yitzchak. He was trying to shoot arrows at him. He would say, I'm getting the inheritance and you're not. She said, send away a Hagar and her son. And it was very bad in the eyes of Avram. Why? Because he's a Baal Chesed. Couldn't understand this idea of sending away his own son. But what does Hashem say? Hashem gives his haskama. Vayomer Elohim al Avram. Elohim says to Avram, al yera beinecha. Do not let it be bad in your eyes. Al hanar, over the lad. The al amasechan, over your maidservant. We're talking about Hagar. Call sure to everything that Sarah tells you, listen to her voice, because through Yitzchak you will have progeny. And what does Rashi say? Lamanu shahaya Avram tofel l'Sara b'nevius. We have learned that Avram was inferior to Sarah in prophecy. Sarah was on such a high level. We already saw she had Ruach HaKodesh. She'll call Sochim Biafia. We already saw that she had Ruach HaKodesh. But what does Rashi tell us here? That Avram was inferior to Sarah in her level of prophecy, if you will. I'm going to end in Mishlei 31, and you will see that it is a reference not only to Sarah Yemeni, but so much of it echoes the life of Dani Grazer, Alal Shama, on the occasion of her fourth Yurtzai, Yud Ches Chai, Cheshvan. A woman of valor, who can find? Far from pearls is her value. Her husband's heart, I know my time is up in a minute and a half. We're going to be there. It's okay. Her husband's heart trusts in her. He shall not want for spoils. And that's why Rivka had to be a gomelas chesed to fill the very large shoes and home of Sarah Imenu. Gomelasu tov velora. She doles out, she does acts of chesed, tov, and not bad. Kol yemei chayaha. Tzemer pishtim vard on shalish, no time. She gets up when it is still night. She gives food to her household. Zamem asada vatikachehu is a reference to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. She considers the fields and buy it is a reference to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, the Sedeh Machpelah, which Avram bought and buried Sarah in there. She girds her loins with great strength. She tastes that her merchandise is good. She never gives up. Danny was sick, her brother told me, for 8 years. She told no one and she kept going every single day. Tama kitov sachra. She knows her merchandise is good. Lo yichba balayla ner. Even in the dark times of life, the laylas of night, her candle was not extinguished. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits with the elders of the land. Oz vahadar levusha. Strength and dignity are her garments. She was so tsanua, but she was cloaked with strength and dignity. Vatischak, koloshomea yitzachak liyismach alai harbe schok haya ba'olam. Her mouth was open with wisdom. Annie was a teacher. V'toras chesed aloshona. Sharon Avram's legacy is the Torah of Chesed. We're in Micha 6a. Ma Hashem el kefel sho'el mimach. Kim asos mishpa v'ahavas chesed v'hatznei lechas. Her children, her biological children, and her spiritual students' children will get up and praise her. Rabos banos asuchayo. Many women, daughters, have acted valiantly. Va'at alis al kulana. Sari Menu is the crown and glory of our nation. And Daniela Sarala Hashem went in her way. Shekhar Achim v'hevel ayofi. Isha yiras Hashem hitis alal. May the neshama of Daniela Sarala Hashem Bas Eliezer Yisrael Levi merit on Aliyah in the schus of these Devei Torah. May her family merit a true nechama and simcha from her children, Kenai Nahara. May her spiritual students take her legacy and create their own lives in her memory. And may we all be inspired and learn a little bit more about what it means to be a righteous woman of valor. I thank you all very much. I thank Rabbi Shabtai, and now you'll go with the next speaker. Thank you so much, Besoros Tovos, to all. Kol Tov.